Happy Tuesday, I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. Only 9 days until Adam Sandler's Hubie Halloween. Are you guys getting ready for this? Are you psyched? I'm making myself laugh because I just recorded a Adam Sandler episode for the weekend. Hey, did you see Trump's tax returns? We'll have to give the late night shows a chance to catch up. But JL Covan tweeted, my Cameo account impersonating Donald Trump will pay more taxes than Donald Trump. And Tim Dillon said, Trump did pay more in taxes than most comics. Speaking of Trump, Stephen Colbert said, folks, you know you're going through a bit of a dark patch in your nation's history when the president not endorsing the peaceful transition of power is the feel-good story of the day. Fallon said, I'm getting the feeling this year is going to end with Trump locking himself in the Oval Office while yelling into the phone, Space Force attack! Seth said, I think the mistake was phrasing the question that way. You should have asked, if Joe Biden wins, do you commit to playing even more golf? That's good. Jimmy Kimmel, he doesn't look like a Cheeto, it's his motto. Time out, Jimmy Kimmel. What happened, man? You were like number one and then you took the summer off and Fallon's writers are cleaning your clock. Get your game together, man. I had you in the comedy power rankings last weekend. These late night jokes have been terrible lately. Come on, James Corden said. This does give me an idea for a new sitcom, though. Trump refuses to leave the White House. Biden moves in anyway. Our two presidents this January on CBS. You know, I'd watch that. Trevor Noah says, if you've paid attention to Donald Trump over the past 5 years, it's no surprise that he likes the idea of being a dictator. I mean, he's written more love letters to Kim Jong-un than his own wife. On other subjects, Giannis Pappas tweets, it would be so neat if Blood started voting Republican and Crip started voting Democratic, just to coordinate. Giannis again, nobody will miss white handshakes. Black handshakes, on the other hand, will be a lost art talked about like jazz, hashtag COVID-19. Joe List says, could somebody hook me up with the fake crowd noise the NFL is using? I need him to cook me up something for these outdoor shows I've been doing. Larry the Cable Guy said, I like to read in bed until I fall asleep. I've been doing this for 3 months and I'm only on page 7. Larry again, you know those wristbands quarterbacks wear with options for different situations? I'm going to start wearing one of those with answers for my wife. Sam Real says, because comedy's outdoors now, motorcyclists are the new bachelorette party. Sam again, brave comedy now is comedians who are willing to share a mic with a bunch of comics they don't know. Conan O'Brien said, a baby scorpion doesn't look so scary from the ceiling fan I'm clinging to. And Kostaki Economopoulos with, why were we surprised Richie Incognito is an asshole? His name literally means dick in disguise. Tim Dillon, the greatest justice delivered in our time is that Hillary Clinton thought she was going to be the president, and now she has a podcast. Don't look for anything else. Debates tonight, by the way. Hey, from the laugh button, Bill Murray received a cease and desist order from the Doobie Brothers. I was going to say, yeah, really, but the left button wrote, yes, really. It turns out that Bill has been using their song Listen to the Music to promote some of his new golf clothes for the William Murray Golf Company. Really, Bill? And he was doing so without their permission. So the band responded, and they wrote the letter to Bill Murray, so they went and made it humorous. Dear Mr. Murray, we're writing on behalf of our clients, the Doobie Brothers. The Doobie Brothers perform and recorded the song Listen to the Music, which Tom Johnson of the Doobie Brothers wrote. It's a fine song. I know you agree because you keep using it in ads for your Zero Hucks Given golf shirts. However, given that you haven't paid to use it, maybe you should change the name to Zero Bucks Given. We understand that you're running other ads using music from others of our clients. It seems like the only person who uses our clients' music without permission more than you do is Donald Trump. This is the part where I'm supposed to cite the United States Copyright Act, blah, blah, blah. We'd almost be okay with it if the shirts weren't so damn ugly. Chris Rock, yeah, we're going to talk about Chris Rock a lot this week. He is hosting Saturday Night Live. He learned how to swim. This from The Hollywood Reporter. Chris said, do you know how effing hard it is for a grown-up to learn how to swim? You've got to be scared not to die. The other day, this guy says to me, okay, you're going to dive into the deep end and swim to the other side. And I'm like, are you effing crazy? But then I dove to the deep end and I swam to the other side. It's a metaphor for what I've been trying to do during this time. Lorne Michaels spoke to the New York Times about Saturday Night Live, which Chris Rock is hosting this week. They asked Lorne about the whole Jimmy Fallon, Chris Rock blackface thing that we've talked about here on the podcast. Lauren said. Chris has talked about it, so has Jimmy. I wish I remembered it better. I've seen the photo, but it was 20 years ago, so Jimmy was in his 20s. He'd done Chris Rock in his audition, and he had done Adam Sandler, both of which were stunning. I think someone gave him bad advice. He was trying to do an impression. There's nothing mean in what Jimmy does. It was of the time. I know we're in a granular period now where every decision you made in your life is up for reassessment, but there was no malice in it. I can tell you that. If you want to hear the bit, I mentioned I host a show on Live by Live, Live X Live. It's a free app. If you want to hear the bit, I play it on this week's Weekly Comedy Thing. It is Jimmy Fallon. The bit is called Chris Rock Was My RA. I'm sure you could just type that into YouTube or something as well if you want to hear the bit and hear Jimmy Fallon's Chris Rock impression. Lauren said, if you go back over the history of the show, you're going to find lots of examples of things. I don't think Gilda Radner could do Roseanne, Rosanna, Dana. And John Belushi could definitely not do The Samurai. Garrett Morris could not do News for the Hard of Hearing. I could go on and on. Steve and Danny could not be Czech brothers because they're not Czech. The criteria is not the greatest soil for comedy to thrive on. Wow. Maybe I'm going to cancel myself here, but like, if we can't do like Wild and Crazy Guys now or Roseanne, Rosanna, Dana, what are we even doing, everybody? Lauren says, I'm not saying comedy should be the dominant thing in our lives. I'm just saying it's important it exists because in addition to everything, it's a safety valve. They asked Lauren, is this an opportunity for Chris Rock to address this himself on the show? And Lauren said, oh, I'm sure he'll have lots to say. And I remind you, Chris is hosting Saturday Night Live Saturday. From Variety, Joe Rogan, who is ranked number one in the Comedy Power Rankings, if you missed this weekend's episode with the updated Comedy Power Rankings, Joe Rogan number one, by the way. Joe Rogan's new country home measures in at a Texas-sized 10,890 square feet. Now, I'm from Queens, New York, and I have no idea what 10,890 square feet is. We don't talk that way in Queens, but sounds big because it's got 8 bedrooms and 10 bathrooms. What? The property is located on a particularly desirable spot along Lake Austin in a quiet neighborhood, far from the hubbub of the city center, but not too far from downtown to be an inconvenient drive. Some of the neighboring homes are owned by the likes of hair care billionaire John Paul DeJoria, I'm unfamiliar with his work, and Sandra Bullock, whose work I do know. Variety says the cast of Veep is reuniting. They want Joe Biden in the White House. Julia Louis-Dreyfus took to Twitter to announce the virtual reunion, which is a fundraiser for the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. The reunion will take place October 4th at 6 p.m. Central Time. Julia said, all roads to the White House go through the great state of Wisconsin. Trump can't win re-election if he doesn't win Wisconsin, so the Democratic Party of Wisconsin has built an unprecedented voter mobilization operation, and they need resources in these final days to deliver Wisconsin to Vice President Joe Biden and Senator Harris. Some activity on the Facebook page over the weekend, facebook.com/dailycomedynews, a good way to get in touch with me, as are my Twitter accounts for the show at DCNPod, at DCNPod, or my personal at McDRadio, at MCDRadio. Heard from Susan, and she recommended Daily Comedy News to other people that follow Susan. So thank you, Susan. She said, agree with all but Joe Rogan, drop him and move the others up. Add Louis C.K. to the top five. As I wrote on the Facebook page, Louis's been a little quiet lately, but, you know, I'll see if I update the Comedy Power Rankings in a few weeks. And if you missed that episode, it was there over the weekend. There was a good weekend episode, too, about this Jerry Seinfeld Bobcat Goldthwait war. It's so silly. Good stuff. If you don't listen on the weekend, go back and listen to those, too. I also heard from Diane. She wrote, hey, Johnny, I have a UK channel on my Roku streamer, so I get live British TV anytime I want. There's a show on ITV called the Jonathan Ross Comedy Club. It's interesting how they were handling the COVID audience gathering issue. I've attached a clip of the stand-up. Depending on which stage the individual city is in, why can't we do the same thing? So I checked out the clip. It's, yeah, it could totally work. So typical comedy stage, and then you have like pods of people. So I'm gesturing with my hands because this is a podcast with no video. So you have to know that I'm sticking out my right hand right now. But, picture you're facing the stage. So there's like, a pod of like, three people over at a table, stage. I forget how it goes. If I'm on the stage left, whatever. If I'm in the audience, they're on my right hand. There are three people sitting at a table over there. And there's a big gap. Then there's like five bros in the middle. There's another group of people over there. It kind of looks like the Imperial Senate from the Star Wars prequels. But yeah, that could totally work. The issue, I think, gets down to capacity. If you're used to having, I don't know, 200 people in your club and you can only have 40, how do the economics work there? We just need a vaccine. The Greenwich Comedy Festival, not in Connecticut, in the UK, happened over the weekend. This from The Guardian. MC Kiri Pritchard-McLean warmed up the crowd. She didn't mess around with a lowest common denominator intro featuring fart gags, really a brusque way with her front row stooges, and one too many jokes about the prissiness of middle class audiences. That sounds pretty hacky. Then Rich Hall came in, the grizzly, blearily American who gets more grizzled and bleary with age. Do you remember Rich Hall from Saturday Night Live? He was the Sniglets guy. I remember being up at the Montreal Comedy Festival with my good friend Mark, and we were sitting there, and Rich Hall got on, and all of a sudden we realized that Rich Hall was that Rich Hall. It blew our mind. He is still around. He's a really good stand-up, but if you're picturing in your mind's eye the, you know, 20-something kid doing Sniglet jokes, that guy's gone. So Hall got on. He did a joke about his wife's coronavirus, replete with a choice gag about her loss of taste. I can imagine what that's about. And Trump's difficulties with spelling, one letter out of place matters. Black olives matter is good evidence of that. That's a good joke. Hall ended with his trademark improvised songs. Apparently, Rich has a whole career in the UK that is off our American radar. Aisling B got up. She did a set tailored to the present moment as she compared face mask and condom etiquette, joked about rebranding as a right-wing comic, and co-opted lockdown-era hit Normal People into a routine about Irish things becoming surprisingly cool. The contrast is stark with her own memories of the place, meaning Ireland, where same-sex relationships were deemed too hot for school children to handle, even as the Messiah's butchered semi-naked body hung from every classroom wall. Sarah Pasco was your headliner. She gives it a good go with a set that's light years from the social commentary in which she once majored. She broaches her new life as a married woman, struggling to model sexy lingerie for her husband, fretting about babies as the biological clock ticks, but loving her new dog. The baby routine is a standout. The Guardian says the gig proved live comedy isn't just viable, but absolutely necessary. That is your comedy news for today. By the way, I crunched the numbers. September 2020, already, with days to go, the number one listened to month for this podcast. I thank you. Last week was the biggest week ever. I thank you. You can subscribe if you are new to this. It is free. You probably figured that out. And I'm on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. The podcast is now on Pandora. It's on Amazon. You can follow on Spotify if you want to tweet it on social media. I appreciate that. And, you know, debates tonight. We'll see what the late night hosts bring. Should be a lot of fun. And only 9 days until Hubie Halloween. Catch you tomorrow.